prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield. There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. Butch Paul. It is fall. Pastor Butch Paul. It's 5 October 2020. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us, and I sincerely do mean that. We're trying to get a guest up tonight. We're going to talk to Pastor Dana Coverstone again. Updates on some things that maybe he might want to share with us about what will be coming up in the very near future. We're less than a month away from the selection, not election. We'll see what's going to happen, maybe some ideas about what will be going on next month. And folks, I haven't had any change in my spirit about what I sense coming next month. It's going to be unrest, unbelievable, but do believe. But nonetheless, we're trying to get Pastor Dane on the phone right now, so bear with us. We'll try that. In the meantime, I got several announcements to make tonight, if you don't mind. We are still offering. We got two packets left of the books, the pre-trib, How Pre-Trib Won. I think two or three packets. How Pre-Trib Won by Stan Johnson. If you want a book to share with friends that may convince them to show them that pre-trib is not Bible, it is not Bible. I wish it were, but it isn't. I used to preach it and teach it myself, but it's not Bible. You can get 10 books for $40. You get one for $20, but we're kind of silly. Get 10 of them for $40 and share with your friends. How Pre-Trib Won. You can get that by calling our office and order it right away. We got two or three bundles left, and that's going to be going. And they went out here like hotcakes, so we're getting kind of sewed up, but we have two or three left. And once they're gone, folks, they'll not be stocking any more of them. So it's here if you want it. All right. And of course, we're still offering the Grand Design Exposed, a very important book for the times we're living in. By John Daniel, The Grand Design Exposed. It's a fantastically put together book on what's happened in our country, what the plans were for this country before it was even formed. And I got them from the gentleman's house who wrote it, who passed away with the lady who bought the house. Got the last three cases that I know of anywhere, and I got them for $10 a piece. That includes shipping. If you want the truth, if you're not afraid to find the truth, now folks, this may not contain everything you agree with, may not, and I don't agree with everything in it. But it reveals some things to me that I sort of know but didn't understand. It's put together very well by John Daniel. And I want you to know this book's available, folks, and once you just go on, I got several of them left, I think. When do I get any more of them? Because no more being published as far as I know. So it's available right here for $10, The Grand Design Exposed. And I'm still offering the teaching on the Mark the Beast, DVD or CD for $10. In my opinion, humble opinion, it's one of the most important teachers that's here today. My friends, please believe me when I tell you that we're being deceived into a matrix, already in the matrix. We're not being deceived into a matrix. We're already in the matrix. We are already in the system. Up to our eyeballs, don't even realize it. Everything we do, say, everywhere we go, almost every thought we have anymore has been traced and monitored and probed and prodded That's what we are in a world today. Not just America, but worldwide. The web is already here. WWW, World Wide Web, has already been placed. It's already here. The final touch has been put on it. And I think you need a copy of this DVD or CD. The Mark the Beast Exposed. Folks, I beg you to please get it to watch it. Not because I did it, because it's important. The last 20-minute segment with Dr. Cassie Majay, or Carrie Majay, is absolutely phenomenal. You need to see it. That's all I'm doing is offering. I can't make you get it. I'm offering the best I can. As clear as I can, it's vitally important. But as you know, if you listen on shortwave tonight, you're listening because Melody Seastrom, bless her heart, pays for the airtime on shortwave on 6115. She's been a very dear friend of this ministry, a very dear friend to a lot of people. She's helped a lot of people preserve their way of living and plan for the future, and helped me over the years in pay off a home 17 years early because of her guidance. That's a fact. Call her up at 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. And tomorrow night, don't forget, it's going to be a special meeting tomorrow night, just you and I in a prayer meeting. Tomorrow night between 7 and 9, as you know, Pastor Condon is meeting with his fellowship and some others in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. And they're going to be having a prayer meeting on the same piece of land where the pilgrims met and first come together in prayer. Not asking for help, but begging forgiveness from Almighty God for what the church has failed to do. Tomorrow night from 7 to 8, I'll lead off in prayer and I'll open the phone lines up. See how many people out there have enough courage to pray on worldwide radio and ask for forgiveness for the church's failure to stand up for God's word. I say this many, many times, folks. The blame is not with the politicians or the heathens. The blame is with the churches who did not take dominion as we're commanded to. Well, welcome on board tonight. There'll be a rebroadcast at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern tonight and every night this week. We're welcome aboard three more stations in Florida. WTDY 91.3 FM in Kingsland, Florida. WTRJ 91.7 in Jacksonville, Florida. And WAYL 91.9 in St. Augustine, Florida. A simul broadcast at 10 o'clock tonight Eastern. All three stations will be playing this broadcast that we're doing right now. Tonight at 10 o'clock, a repeat program. So welcome aboard, WDTY, WTRJ, and WAYL. We're so glad you're with us, and I do mean that. And next Tuesday night, we're going to have on Dr. Rodrigo Rodriguez. It's going to be a program on taking care of your body and health. I know this program reaches a lot of people all over the world. But folks, next Tuesday night, from 8 to 9, we're going to let you call and ask questions about your health issues. You will talk, in my mind, to the leading authority on how to take care of your body naturally. It's available next week for free to you. He'll talk to you anytime you want to on the phone for free at his office. But the next Tuesday night, we'll give you a chance to meet Dr. Rodriguez on the air and ask him questions you may have. I don't guess our guest is here with us yet. I haven't heard anything from Todd yet. I'm waiting for hoping to get hold of Pastor Dana. I talked to him this afternoon. He's supposed to be here at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock his time. And I haven't heard anything back from Todd yet, so it's just you and I right now. Okay, not yet, so maybe I'll just take a second here and send him a quick text while we're talking. But nonetheless, folks, we are in a mess, and the mess... Okay. He's expecting to be on Skype, Todd, I found out. On Skype, so I don't know what to say about that. If you have his Skype address, go ahead and Skype him. I just got a text from him. He said he hadn't heard from anybody yet on Skype, too. All right, thank you. All right, folks, I'm sorry about that. Hey, this is live radio. Anything can happen. Anything can happen, and usually does. But again, tomorrow night's program, folks, I want you to understand, in my spirit, in my heart of hearts, I know that our Heavenly Father's given us maybe a slight window of repentance. Not praying for repentance of our nation, but for seeking repentance in our own selves, in who we are and what the church has failed to do in this country. We were given the authority by Almighty God to occupy till He came. We were given the duty to go out and disciple means discipline, teach all nations all the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were to teach his law, build his kingdom here on earth. That's what we were here for. And the early church with the apostles knew that, and the disciples. The word ecclesiastica in the church has been in the Bible, it's been translated churches. That's a very loose translation of the word ecclesiastica, folks. Ecclesiastica is a word used in authority of a community, not just a church, but a community who exercise authority in politics and civil authority themselves. The church, the ecclesiastica, was to be the ones who set up governments and put together governments governed by the laws of God, by the judgments of God, and by the punishments that found in the Word of God. That's what the church was sent out to do. That's why Caesar feared them so desperately. That's why he was told by his people that didn't like the people that were preaching the gospel of Christ, that these men are turning the world upside down. They're preaching another king but Caesar, one Jesus. The church hasn't done that for so long in this nation anyway, that people will look at you with a blank stare if you say there's only one king. There's only one head of government, and it's not Bill Clinton. It's not Bill Clinton. No, it isn't. It's not. It's, of course, it's not Trump either. The head of government is Satan himself. But the people are going to understand when you tell them that there's only one king, and it's not any man on earth. Okay, I don't know if I have that or not. Okay, folks, excuse me while I talk to Todd here, okay? I know it's kind of rude. I don't mean to do that. I don't have his Skype name. I'm sorry about that. Keep trying that number if you don't mind. Okay. So anyway, that's just, what are you going to say? This is what life's all about. When you live radio, anything can happen. But the church in America was given, the church in the world was given the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, to go out and build his kingdom on earth and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and the laws and the judgments and the righteousness of the kingdom of God on this earth, and to see those fulfilled. But in today, the so-called church in America has become so inefficient and so useless, more or less. I mean, folks, I'm just saying like it is. They really believe that the only thing that they meet together for is to have a meeting inside those four walls they call the church, sing a few hymns, maybe preach a little bit of gospel, and go home. They whine and cry about the condition of this world and the condition of this country, but the church has lost her idea of what her duty truly is. And that's to stand in the name of Christ and proclaim his kingdom on earth, the kingdom that should be in all of us. Remember, we're told that the kingdom is within you, within us. If we're serving Christ, we cannot serve but one master at a time. And the church has forgot that, including this. Your pastor right now, the one's talking to you right now, I forgot that. I didn't realize. I didn't. Oh, I knew enough that I can't compromise the Bible no matter what anybody says. I knew that. I knew that I can't change his word, and I won't back down on his truths. But I didn't understand that my duty is to preach and teach his laws and commandments and demand that the civil authorities obey his law, because they are not the authority. His word is. They may have the force, they may have the guns, they may have the power, but they are not the authority. You understand the difference? How else would you have a nation now full of governors and sheriffs and county commissioners that would dare tell the church, you can't meet? You can't come together and worship. You can't sing hymns. In Moscow, Idaho, there was a raid on an outside church meeting. Actually arrested the pastors and leaders of the church and fined the rest of them being there in an outside meeting in Moscow. What a name. Moscow, Idaho. How else would it come to the point that whenever the church would become the ecclesiastica was supposed to be? The church is a very loose translation, folks. It really is. Ecclesiastica means authority, power, and we're to set up our own civil authorities under authority of God. But nonetheless, we forgot that. All right, we have a guest already. All right, finally. Good to have Brother Dan with us. Folks, we'll finish this discussion tomorrow night and take your prayers tomorrow night, too, for the evening of prayer, tomorrow night's prayer meeting. Dana Coverstone. Sorry about that. I thought you were going to be on the phone. Excuse me for not knowing that.
No problem at all. I think we were both just, we're on the same track going different directions, but hey, we finally got turned around. We're here, so I apologize for any misinformation I gave you folks. I wasn't sure if it was phone or Skype, but I apologize. But here we are. Here we are.
Well, here we are, brother, and I know that there's tons of stuff on your mind and mine too. My little people can bring you overloaded pretty quick anymore, so it just happens. But good to have you. It's live radio. Anything can happen on live radio, so we can expect that. But it's good to have you back with us tonight, brother, and I do mean that. It truly is. I do mean that. I think that you're a sincere man of God, trying to seek the will of our Father in heaven, and I do believe that. I know that I like to think I am too. And some of the things I've seen, some of the things I'm shown from the Word, some things I'm shown from what's happening, I wish sometimes I didn't know it. I really mean that. I wish sometimes I were ignorant as I used to be. But you can't go back to being ignorant. Once you know the truth, you can't go back to being ignorant any longer. And to tell the truth, brother, it's our job to warn the people, is it not? We're a watchman on the wall.
It is. And as watchmen on the wall, we've got a responsibility to share what we see, what we hear, what we sense. And I'm coming more and more into this role as a watchman. As a pastor, I think every pastor in that sense is a watchman. I just never expected. I'm still overwhelmed by all the comments, all the things that have happened. And I thought things by now would have slowed down, but I think it's speeding up and increasing. And I think the reason is why is because people are starting to wake up. I believe many in the church are opening their eyes and they're seeing the things that are going on. And it confirms that they've been sensing these things for years or even decades, that something was coming to a pretty serious conclusion or mass chaos was about to happen. And I think we're there. We see COVID starting to kick back up. We saw our president out of the Oval Office for a few days with a diagnosis of COVID. And after watching some of the generals come out against our president, I was kind of concerned about him being in Walter Reed, a military medical hospital, because you don't know what we know what the narrative story is, but we don't know what the real story is.
Sure.
We don't know what's really happening. And it's okay. We have the right as Americans to kind of be suspicious of how government runs and operates, because we've seen how government runs and operates for decades and years, and it's not just the news we have to watch. And I long for the day when the government will be on his shoulders.
Amen.
That verse in Isaiah stands out to me, and
amen.
I can't wait until there is justice in every city, every community, every state, every nation. And it will be because Christ will be on the throne. And
you said it's our right to have our eyes open. It's actually our duty as believers in Christ. I understand that the heathen doesn't understand this, but we were given the wisdom. We should have the wisdom and the authority of Christ in our hearts. We're already in his kingdom. When you're born again, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So we're in the kingdom already. We have a duty to proclaim his gospel and his word and demand his law be followed on this earthly realm. Because the church quit doing that, we're in the mess we're in today. If the church would have stood solidly and said, we are going to obey God, not man, we won't be in this mess.
Yes. And I was even seeing today where a case of a clerk in Kentucky, went before the Supreme Court.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
Glad to see there were a couple justices that said, look, no state can shove their thoughts or their theories down the face of any Christian, any church. And I was thankful for the two justices that very much stood out for that and questioned how a state could suddenly start discriminating against the religious beliefs and faith of Christians. So I see that as a win. I'm thankful that we've got folks in our corner there. And I don't just pray for the president and the vice president and the Congress. I pray for the Supreme Court, because some of the major decisions made in this country have gone before that court. That's why we have a Roe v. Wade. That's why we have abortion like we have it. And so many other issues will be coming before that court. And that court becomes literally the most important court in the land. And I'm hoping that a lot of believers and a lot of Christians are praying for the leaders on that court system, because they can set things in motion that will be in operation for 50 years or more. Just like Roe v. Wade became law and legalized abortion became a part of the landscape of this country.
And I'll say that the Supreme Court can't make law. But they do it by de facto authority, because they don't have authority to make law. Exactly. They don't have that kind of authority, exactly. Whether it's murdering babies or sodomite marriage. They don't have the authority. But, you know, if we repent as a church, as you've been saying, I've been saying, tomorrow night we're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow night on our program here, total prayer the whole hour, asking our Father to not necessarily heal the land, but forgive us, the church, for not doing His will. Forgive us, and maybe, if we're sincere about that, He might give us a reprieve, and nothing else. Pray conviction on the court and on the politicians. Pray conviction in their heart that they'll see they're doing something wrong. Pray that the Lord will show them that they need to change their mind or intercede. Either way, whether they do or not, He has the power to intercede.
Yes. And one of the things that I find myself praying more and more is to bring a series of serious conviction upon our elected leaders. And you and I understand what conviction means. That's when the Spirit of God presses us and convicts us of our sin, convicts us of our attitudes, convicts us of our behavior. So I find myself praying more and more, Lord, bring strong conviction upon those in the House, the Senate, the Congress, upon the Supreme Court. Because when conviction comes, it will bring people to confess sin. It will bring an opening. It will reveal and expose corruption. And that's another thing we have so much of in our country, in our government, even our churches, is corruption. And the light, you know, the darkness hates the light. And it hates the light because when the light comes on, it exposes everything that's in that room, everything in the closet, everything under the bed is seen and able to be known about. And so I find myself praying more and more for the conviction of the Holy Spirit on our leaders, our elected officials, everywhere from the White House, you know, to our mayor, to our county executive, to our city and county councils. My group of men on Tuesday nights hear me pray every week that God reveals corruption. Within our community, within our leadership, among law enforcement,
even in the church.
Oh yeah, and we prayed. You know, during September, I led 10 specific days praying for God would reveal the corruption in the church, in my church, in our churches all around the nation, because as the church goes, you know, in America we have this idea that as California goes, so the nation goes. In all reality, is as the church goes, so the nation goes.
Amen.
And if we continue to be the light that we're supposed to be and make the difference we're supposed to make and be vocal and be loud. You know, we need Christians running for public office. And I can say that because when I was a youth pastor for 10 years, I ran for a city council position and I won. And I won that seat twice. And I was the first elected Republican city councilman in Jasonville, Indiana in 80 years. And I held that seat. 2 years, I won 2 elections. I went into the communities. I knocked on doors. I learned a whole lot about infrastructure and water rates and utility rates. And I argued before the state before about, you know, rural communities and how the state government can help them and needs to listen to them. And I learned a whole lot about how things really work. So I dealt with sewer plants and I dealt with water rates and I dealt with customers who were upset because some neighbor's dog was loose in their yard all the time. But I ran for city council, and I believe I made a difference in my community because I prayed about what we were doing. I just look at it as business meeting or some contract to sign. I said, God, can we afford this? Should we do this? How can you bring business to our community? What can we do? The mayor was a wonderful Christian, and I was able to pray with him. You know, weekly we would meet and pray and talk about things that were going on, and we viewed it as it was kingdom work. I was more than a city councilman. I was doing kingdom work. And
well,
I believe
that's not going to interrupt you. That's wonderful because that's what we're here for. This we're to bring Christ's kingdom to earth. That's what we're here for, not just to follow the politician's lead. If the church would understand again what her authority is, what her role is, but more than anything else, what her authority is in Jesus, we could change this mess.
Oh yeah, and that's going to mean people getting involved, and that's going to mean people having to do uncomfortable things like knock on doors and talk to people. That's going to mean doing uncomfortable things like having to deal with worldly people and the lost. It's going to mean having to pray about things like we never prayed before. And I mean, I don't know how many people that are listening to this go to city council meetings or county council meetings or no, even, you know, a lot of people have no idea how their city or county governments work. But they get upset when taxes go up and other things. But when you start to realize that, you know, water lines and gas lines and those things, they cost money. Most of them have not been repaired for decades. You got to keep maintaining things at your house to keep them up. And same thing with the city. But so when you get Christians involved, they get a better understanding of how the community works and what goes on underneath those roads and how much it costs to pave a block. Most Americans have no idea how you do that. And so if we can get involved and be a part of it, we can bring our values, our biblical values, into a city council room and make a difference. There are decisions
that's our duty.
There were decisions I can make on that city council that are still in effect in that community I served, and they're making a difference yet today.
Amen. Well, again, if the Christian step up and takes authority in this world, we could change some lives for sure. But we got to get back to what's coming up here, and we're less than a month away to what is going to happen on November 3rd. And every day it seems like the fire is getting worse. I listened to another program today, and this was a conservative show, and they're pro-Trump, and I'll be quite honest with you, I'm not a Trumpeteer. I don't like Biden, I don't like Trump. Nonetheless, they told this on the radio that if Trump loses, he shouldn't leave the White House, and we, his people, his followers, should arm ourselves and can make sure he stays there. I thought, what kind of talk is this?
Not talk.
I mean, come on. I mean, this is supposed to be somewhat of a semi-Christian broadcast. I mean, you're calling for armed insurrection. Now, I'm not saying it may not come to that point where you have to defend yourself, but we don't call for that. That is not what we're supposed to do. I understand their feelings. I understand feelings. But you incite the wrong people to do something that's stupid, and simply people don't have the common sense not to know that you shouldn't do that.
Exactly. And if President Trump loses this election, he is still the president until January 21st.
20th. Yes, 20th. Yeah.
20th. There's an inauguration date. There is a transition of government. We know how that works. And already we see, whoever wins on the election day, we probably won't know that day, but whoever wins, we're going to have issues and chaos and problems, and I believe this is going to be the most contentious election we've ever had in American history.
I agree.
And we see that. We know that's coming. The cities are starting to lighten up a little bit. You know, I live about 2.5 hours south of Louisville. And matter of fact, I'll be flying out of Louisville Airport this week, and I'm not real worried about where I leave my car parked. But just the fact, I said to someone going to Louisville, and they're like, why are you going there? Well, I'm not going too near anything going on downtown. But the fact that we have all sorts of things happening in our communities, in our cities. Portland and Seattle are still having major issues. Louisville is still having major issues. Minneapolis is still having major issues. And God's people need to pray, because if we think that an election is going to fix everything going on right now, it won't. It can't.
No, it won't. It can't.
There's a momentum that's going in our country that I think, this is where I really think that we need to think about. There is a momentum.
All right, hang on. We're going to break here, brother. Hang on to that thought, okay? Folks, back at the break, we'll talk to Brother Daniel some more. We may have time for a phone call. Don't know for sure, but let's wait and see, okay? So, anyway, right back at the break.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, had no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Nemana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing.
Folks, let's jump right back in. Talking to Brother Dana Coverstone about some what things he have seen in dreams in the past. We'll discuss those in a minute. But we're discussing during the break, though, about the fact that people are starting to buy guns and arm themselves. And this is a first-time gun buyer, by the way. People used to be anti-gun, all of a sudden they're buying guns because they know trouble's coming. I was making a point also, Brother Dana, that it's hard to find ammo. I look for some 12-gauge shotgun, 12 or 20-gauge shotgun shells a day. No one in my area has any 12 or 20-gauge shotguns in stock. They're all out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, well, shotgun shells now, not 9mm and not 223, but shotgun shells.
Right, right. You know, when I did the first dream, I shared three dreams, and I gave three basic warnings. I said, folks, I think you need to, you know, store up some food. And I said, I think you need to just load up on guns and ammo. I did not say be like a Rambo and go on a fire, you know, firing range, and also buy silver or gold. Well, right now, this week, just since Saturday, I've had four people call me and say they were upset with me for even suggesting they buy a gun or have ammunition. And those four people in the last month have been trying to buy a gun because they've seen the things in the news, they're seeing what's going on. And they said, Pastor Coverstone, we want to apologize to you because now you warned us to get guns and stuff, and now we can't find one, we can't buy one, we can't buy ammunition. I've had hundreds of emails from people who have said, we can't find ammunition now, we can't do this, we can't do that. Even around here, you can't. And I wasn't trying to sell guns, I wasn't being endorsed by any gun company. But what I saw coming was danger and trouble. I saw people in those dreams who were hiding behind their curtains looking out, and I saw people in the streets with guns going door to door and things like that. And I just tried to share what I saw. And so now people are frustrated because they can't get those things. We still have 17 processing plants that are down, not killing beef, not processing. And if you go to your local grocery store, you're seeing less and less processed meat, like the deli meats and stuff like that.
Yes.
You start to see a whole lot. My daughter, who lives in a bigger city up north, said that just this week she saw the price of powdered milk go up by $10 a box.
Ooh.
And for a long time here in our area of Kentucky, you still can't get powdered milk off the shelf. And they're starting to see shortages and things like that are happening. And once again, I wasn't trying to cause trouble. I was just trying to warn people. I had 1,100 friends. I shared the dream. 1,100 friends had no idea it would go viral like it did. That was not my intent. I wanted to share it with my friends and family. Hey, I had some dreams, and I'm concerned. I just want people to be safe, have what you need to have, you know, and be careful. And now we're starting to see, as we get close to the election, things are picking up. And my hope and my prayer has been, Lord, you know, wake people up, help them see what they need to do, help them see what they need to get. But more than that, just listen, you know, be listening to what the Spirit of God is trying to tell them so that they
Amen.
Know what's happening and what's going on and be ready for it.
Well, I want to say one more thing. I want to get on that real quickly. I just looked up what you mentioned, the price of beef. A pound of dry-aged ribeye steak, a pound, $29.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm thinking I got some beef being raised here. But anyway, you go ahead.
One of the things that we need to understand is that there is a huge amount of chaos about to happen in our country. And you don't have to have dreams or visions to understand that. You look at the headlines, you know, right now, okay, around the world, you've got Armenia and Azerbaijan who have been lobbing missiles at each other. You've got Turkey who's been making threats about Greece for years, and they're also involved with the Azerbaijan and Armenian trip. You've got India and China. You've also got India and Pakistan right now that are going at it.
Yes, yes.
And so just that right there, we see nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing those things happen right before our eyes.
And race against race, ethnos against ethnos. Matthew 24. Yes.
And so often we want, a lot of people in the church world just want things to be easy and get out with the rapture. And I don't want to argue rapture stuff with people, because that, here's what I've learned. I've got people that will call me and they're mad because I don't use a certain translation of the Bible, or they're mad because I believe in pre-trib rapture. Here's what I've made up my mind about something. I've not changed my doctrine or my theology or my teaching. I believe we should just be ready whenever he comes. But this idea in the church world that we're going to get out of the world unscathed and have no challenges and no difficulties. My brother, you and I both know that the challenges in life are what shape us and make us.
Amen. And by the way, where did judgment begin? Where does judgment begin?
The house of God.
And how many millions have died in this world, not in America yet to speak of, but in nations that, where the Muslims rule or the Buddhists rule, where they slaughter Christians every day. So how come they didn't get out of here before all this stuff come on then? Why do we think we're spatial?
Yeah, and a lot of people, here's one thing I've heard, you know, we've been sending missionaries around the world, we send money. Okay, that's great, that's all fine and dandy, but we're supposed to also be in the world but not of the world. We're supposed to be out there knocking on the neighbor's door. We're supposed to be telling the people about Jesus that we work with, that we live with, that we go to school with. And we've been quiet, you know, it's been, the Chinese church is praying daily for the American church to deal with persecution. I've made a good friend. And a pastor, a friend of mine from Pakistan who came to America in 1999, and he came bearing a message. His name is Pastor Masai. He came with the message for the American church to prepare for persecution. And you can imagine how he was first received. And yet,
oh, yes.
Now we're starting to see things happen. You know, the other thing that we got to understand is this. We are going to face opposition and persecution to the gospel in our life, because
Amen.
The gospel is diametrically opposed to everything the enemy has out there. And there's a passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul says that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what we are. We've not been talking about it. We've not been sharing it. There's a lot of churches that will not deal with end time events. They don't want to talk about prophecy. I've lost a lot of friends, brother, just because I had dreams and then I shared the dreams.
Amen.
I've got pastors in my local community who will not talk to me. I've got people,
brother,
who will not.
I haven't faced with a lot of what you face, but I understand that. I mean, I do when I have church, we do a Bible study with what's happening scripturally, and I've showed to them in the Bible what times are in, and most people don't even come to hear it. It scares them.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're not supposed to be scared. We're supposed to be prepared.
That's right. We should be excited that the Word of God's coming true. We're seeing it come true. So why are we depressed? We should be excited. He said this will happen if you disobey me. This will come. So why should we as believers be depressed? I know it hurts to see it happening, but His Word is coming true. That should excite us that He's still God.
You know, Paul made the statement that we should work while it's yet day. And there's a principle there, and that principle is, while the sun is still out, while we still have daylight to see what we're doing, we need to get busy and work in the field.
I agree.
You know, he talked about how the field, they're ripe for harvest, but we don't have enough laborers. And you know, Jesus said that in his day and age. And that was basically a proclamation he was making for the church age. There would always be a lot more harvest that we couldn't get to because he wouldn't have enough workers. So the part of the waking up part that we're doing is not just to wake us up to what's going on, but to wake us up to work and to get busy and to be responsible sharing
Amen.
The gospel to people. Because, you know, I've led about over almost 300 people to the Lord just on the phone. People who have called the church and said, Pastor, I saw your video. It scared the living daylights out of me. Will you pray for me? And we start talking about their soul and where they are. I've had people come to my church, just show up at the door and say, I saw your dream. I drove 2 hours to talk to somebody. Will you talk to me? So I've led about 300 people to the Lord just since
Praise
the dream
God.
Came out. And I'm thankful for that. But I also know that it's making people think. And I'm hoping that, and not just my dreams and my visions, but I pray that people are starting to sense in their spirits there's something not right. I want God to shake people. I literally want God to shake people and wake them up because they don't see what's coming. So many people are still. I understand COVID. You know, COVID has been a church killer. It's been a society killer.
It's been a hyped up fear that people fail for.
Yeah, and we got to overcome that. You know, we do services now. We don't do social distancing. We don't wear masks.
No, my God's bigger than a virus.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and we're not doing that to be legalistic. We're not doing that
no.
to be, you know, man
You're obeying God. You're obeying God.
There's a First Amendment that entitles me, you know, the freedom of religion, also freedom to assemble, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Those things are so vital within the kingdom of God. And because we have a democratic government that's based on the word of God, this republic that we live in, we have certain inalienable rights that were given to us by God with the natural law that God instilled around us.
and even, brother, more than that, we have a duty. And that overrides rights. We have a duty to God.
Yes.
And if you say we have a duty. Rights are wonderful, but duties are a right you can choose to do or not to do. But a duty is given by God. We can't deny that. We truly can't. And I want you to get into two in a minute. It's going by so fast. What you still see coming as early as next month, but go ahead and finish your comments and let's get into that.
I was going to say that the Constitution that we have is based on the natural law that God put in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirit. And we've got to be cognizant of that. We've got to recognize that some of the things that are happening right now in our world, in our country, there are people attacking the very freedoms and rights that we have, which is why that duty comes into it. And we must stand up. We must not be silent. We must open our eyes, must open our ears. There's a movie called The Patriot, and Heath Ledger was in that movie. Mel Gibson was, and it's based on a story about the Revolutionary War. And a lot of people don't realize that there were pastors who took up arms and they fought for this country. One reason is because when they left King George in England, they left because they wanted freedom of religion. They wanted to worship
right.
God the way they wanted to. And so there's a line in that movie where basically the pastor's on. He joins the Minutemen that are going out to the militia to fight against the British. And a man looks at him kind of strange, like, "Pastor, where are you going?" And he says, "Sometimes the pastor warns about the wolves, and sometimes he goes out to fight them."
Amen.
That got to me because, you know, I do believe the dreams
but,
that
but
I had.
Let's add this to it. The first battle fought at Lexington Green was led by Jonas Clark, a pastor of the church. You know that. He was a leader of the
yes.
militia there. But anyway, go ahead.
I believe that God has given me dreams. I believe that God has given so many other dreams and visions about where we're living. Because
well, what do you see coming, brother? What do you see coming? Well, what's still in your spirit? What do you see coming? Has anything changed or gotten better or worse?
No, I do believe that the prayer that the church put into things in September has made a big difference. I believe it has turned some things. But I also believe there are some things that were coming regardless of how we prayed. Because one of the things, you look at the book of Acts in chapter 8, after Saul got turned loose, they stoned Stephen, the church faced persecution. And persecution did one major thing for the church that it probably didn't see coming, and that was it spread the gospel all over that region. And when the Holy Spirit fell, Jesus basically said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." Well, that started in Acts chapter 8 when the church was persecuted and the church was scattered. The only way we're going to get the gospel around the world is to keep moving it into every nation, into every language, every tongue, every tribe. And so as we get closer to the end times and the Lord coming back, we're going to begin to see more and more chaos on the earth. Jesus, you know, Jesus said those things. He said those things basically in Matthew. He even said that, you know, "See, let no one mislead you. Many will come in my name, say I'm the Christ. Wars, rumors of wars." But he said, "Don't be frightened. These things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and famine." In California this last week, they had a swarm of earthquakes that has been unlike anything they've seen in the last 40 years. And that's according to the United States Geological Survey, the USGS website. So they're starting to see those things out there. we have been seeing earthquakes as far north as Vermont and Maine.
Yes.
Vermont, Maine. You know, earthquakes all over the place. We're starting to see famine in various areas. We've had three areas where locusts have come in already this year. March, April, May. You had locusts in South America. You had the Middle East. You also had China. And those things can eat through green leaves and green trees. You know, they can eat a lot of stuff. The United Nations came out several weeks ago. The food guy, he said, I am predicting a famine of biblical proportion.
Yes.
That was the UN food guy.
Yes.
And so
yes.
All these things. So when we talk about, and then he says false prophets will arise, mislead many. The love of many will grow cold because of lawlessness. If we've ever seen lawlessness in America, it is today. We saw insurrection, which is what it was in Seattle. We see police stations being firebombed in Portland. We've had businesses firebombed in Louisville. A store owner came out and said, "Leave my place alone." And they wanted him to say a certain type of group, you know, that those lives matter. And then when he wouldn't do it, they went and burned his building down. That's the kind of world we're living.
Well, brother, I don't even interrupt you, but the lawlessness also means that the church is the world, this nation, especially, has broke the laws of God by murdering children, sodomizing sons, perverting their daughters. That's lawlessness also, which leads up to this final thing of chaos that you're talking about
exactly.
Right now.
And the lawlessness increasing, I believe, when it says the love of many will grow cold, I believe that's persecution. Because the lawless people will eventually come against those of us who support traditional marriage between a man and woman. They will hate those of us who believe the unborn life matters. They will hate those of us that preach that certain lifestyles are sin. And so I can see a lot of people who weren't really committed to the Lord to begin with saying, you know what, I'm not going to bow. I'll just bow my knee. I'll just say this. I'll just agree with them because they don't want to get hurt or beat up or shot. We're also seeing major acts of violence in our cities. New York has some of the highest crime rates since they've defunded their police. Chicago cannot stop the killings in their city. It just keeps getting worse.
But a different topic. I don't know how that can be. They're gunless. They're not allowed to have guns there. So how's that happening there?
Yeah. They have the toughest gun laws in the country, but yet they've got more crime.
Oh, yeah, the highest crime rate. But now, are you seeing the same thing you dreamt a few months ago happening next month after the election, what you see coming from the streets and chaos?
Things happening. I believe in one of the dreams I saw the second and third week of October, I saw things increasing. I saw the crowds and riots starting again. I saw more and more chaos in the streets. I saw people trying to get in to vote, and they were being pushed around by clowns who were trying to distract them, not being able to go into the voting booth, or threatening people who were trying to go into the voting booth. And I saw Halloween as a very, very major evil day. I'm going to be in McAllen, Texas on Halloween night. We're going to be
it's an evil day anyway. We know that, but go ahead.
But I'm going to be in McAllen, Texas doing another 12-hour prayer time from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. We're going to be praying on Halloween night for the Lord to move in our country because that's the weekend before the election. And we're trusting God to spare some things. We're trusting God to get a hold of people to bring some peace into it. But I'm praying aggressively. And when I say that, I mean I'm praying as hard as I can, aggressively as I can. I'm praying the hard prayers. I'm praying that God breaks the backs of
Amen.
Some of the movements. I'm praying that God breaks the teeth. In Psalm chapter 3, David starts off being surrounded by his enemies. And at the end, he says, you know, God, you smit my enemy on the cheek, and you've broken their teeth. Well, when an enemy had their teeth broke, it meant they could not eat. They could not chew the meat to get it down in their stomach. It affected them physically. So I've been praying, God, break the teeth of the people in these movements. Break their ability to communicate, to network. Break off the funding that's going in. Because these groups are well-funded. They have all sorts of operations.
By the way, Psalms 94 is a good passage to read also on this.
Yes.
You know, ask our Father to lay our enemies low. But, you know, brother, again, you hit on, unless we repent ourselves, He cannot intercede for us.
Right, right, right. And repentance is the key. Repentance is the key. You read Daniel's prayer. Daniel kept saying, God, I am sorry for my sin. Daniel's probably one of the most recognized good, righteous, holy man in the Bible. We have no recording of his sin. He was human, so we know he did. But he identifies himself with the nation of Israel, and he says, because we sinned, I sinned, we sinned. And because I sinned and we sinned, we're now in captivity. He identified himself with the people. And every pastor, every Christian, we got to say that together. We have allowed sin to happen in our lives, in our communities. We've been too quiet. We've not stood up.
Amen.
We've not been involved. We've not contacted our congressmen or elected officials. We've not gone to city council meetings. Or, you know, we never get upset about taxes until the taxes go up. And then we want to go to a city council meeting and complain. We need to be going to those meetings and be a part of what's happening and be listening and have some influence. And I know that word influencer sometimes can become a little bit indistinctive, but we're supposed to be light and salt. And salt was a preservative. It kept the meat dry. It kept it fresh. It kept it able to be eaten. And we need to be salt. And, you know, we're the preservative. God puts us into a business so that we can preserve his coming judgment to the people there, because they're going to feel the presence of Christ in us. We walk in those places as ministers of the gospel. We walk in those places as sons and daughters of God.
Well, you know, I don't care about this. This is such a good program. I read one time, somebody, I can't remember who said it, said, preach the gospel everywhere you go, and if you have to, use words.
I believe that was St. Francis of Assisi.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Now, we're down about the last 6 minutes, so what do you want to tell the folks personally to prepare for next month? I want you to speak to them like you're speaking to right here in our front room talking to them. What do you want to tell them?
I would say this. You need to be praying for your president, praying for the direction this country goes, and praying like your country depends on it. Both sides are saying that. But those of us who are Christians understand we are not electing a pastor into public office. There are things about President Trump that I wish he hadn't said or hadn't done in the past. But what I am thankful for is he has stood up to a machine in Washington, D.C. that's been used to just moving like it does. He has stood up and made some statements. He has stood up and said some things that need to be said. He has put some people in their place. And in light of both choices, I think there's an obvious choice which direction the country should go. But we need to pray that whatever happens in the election, whatever happens, that we will stand true to the principles of the word, and we will speak up, we will stand up, and we will stand out when it comes to our faith.
Amen. That's the key thing. That's the key, standing for the principle, the conviction of the Word of God. In all honesty, I have a hard time between both men, quite honest with you. I really do. I just truly do. But for the people to prepare themselves personally for what chaos you see coming, I know you already mentioned, you know, some food and some guns and ammo, some silver and gold, different things that you can get by with. But how severe do you think it's going to be? Let's say by the middle of November, do you see anything right after the election, because there's not going to be a result in that night at for sure. If we have an election, that may be delayed even also. We don't know that. But what do you see happening by middle of November, let's say, or in November next month?
I believe we're going to see a vacuum of leadership. You know, I saw an empty White House, and I think more and more about that. The fist that I saw hitting the counter, I believe that was God saying enough's enough. But I believe we're going to see a vacuum of leadership, because if no matter who's elected, there's going to be questions about who the real president is.
Sure.
And when the real president comes into power. We've already had the, you know, people in the Senate or the Congress talking about, now we know by a certain time in December, if we don't have an election, Congress is able to take the electoral ballot, the electoral college, and get 50 votes to vote who the president is. And as of right now, that would be a Republican majority, because those states, you know, in the states, as far as that's concerned, we would have that. But we're not guaranteed that. And so I believe we're going to see a vacuum of leadership. And any time there's a vacuum of leadership in a business, in a church, in a country, in a city, you and I both know what happens. And right now, everything is so anchored up, tanked up. Everybody is on edge right now. And so if we go very long without knowledge of who the president is going to be, and everybody's going to have their thoughts and opinions, I think you're going to see more explosive things happen. I believe you're going to see more almost near anarchy beginning. I think you'll see more uprisings from the protest groups that are out there now, like Antifa and others. But that vacuum of leadership is where the problem's going to come. Because even if, you know, how many days will it be that people will riot and burn things until we know who the president is? And the longer it goes, the more issues we're going to have.
Well, we also know that the National Guard has been put on standby in the states of Arizona, I think, in Alabama. They have units on standby to fly in a matter of hours to take back control of cities. So they're already arming up to go out and patrol the streets.
Right. And we also know there's been some contingency of government practices, which makes sense going into the type of election that we might have. And by that, I mean moving people, shifting people. That's why I do not believe the narrative necessarily that because our president had COVID, he was moved to hospital. And if he had COVID and tested positive and they're releasing him back to the White House tonight, since the typical COVID diagnosis means a 14-day quarantine, well, then we have to question if they're letting him go back to the White House. Okay, was it really a COVID quarantine situation, or what is it? We may never know, probably won't. But there are so many different ideas and stories and things being said out there, you don't know who to believe. And that's why we've got to know what the Word of God says. We've got to stand on that Word of God that we know what it says about. And we've got to trust the Lord to bring us through these times. And it means that we pray aggressively, we pray specifically, we pray strategically, and we don't stop praying. We have got to be emphatic about praying about our time in the Word, because one of the biggest warnings we get from Paul and Jesus in the New Testament, basically everything they say is false teachers will come, false teachers will come, false teachers will come, perilous times will come. So the biggest warning we have is that we've got to know what the truth of the Bible is. And we've got to stand.
Amen.
In Revelation, we're told that the false teachers will even be able to get to the elect. And that says a lot. So, you know, it's a narrow gate, it's a narrow road. We've got to stay on it. We've got to stay on it.
And Christ warned us that many will cry, Lord, Lord, and do wonderful works in my name. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. You worked iniquity. So, folks, this is the time to make your calling and election sure. I just taught that in Bible study last weekend, this past Saturday. Yes. It's time to make your calling and election sure. Be certain that you're walking in Christ. Not just that you say you're saved. Satan believes in Christ, but he's not saved. Make sure that you've been converted. You've been born again. Filled with the Spirit. And walk it in Christ. Brother, we're down at the last minute. So what do you want to say?
I want to say to the church, we've got a responsibility and an obligation. There are people that are out there that are lost and going to hell without Christ. And they desperately need to see Jesus in us, in our speech, in our attitude, in our characters, in our behavior. They need to see Jesus more than they need to see anything else about us. So share Jesus with the lost world. Let them know that he came, he died, he conquered, he came back from the dead, he died for our sins, and he is still in the business of changing and transforming lives.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now let us start with me, huh?
Yes.
Let us start with ourselves. Brother, God bless you. I'll be in touch, okay? And you keep in touch with me. If anything comes up I need to know, get on the radio, please let me know.
I will. Thanks for having me on.
Our brother, talk to you soon, my friend. Bye-bye. Look, for the grace of God, see you tomorrow night for tomorrow night's prayer meeting. Please be there. And please, tomorrow night, join me in prayer live on the air, okay? We'll see you there. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.